I am Khadijah, Apostle of the Most High God, with another series of Women in the Bible. This series, we will be unpacking the story of our sister Rizpah. Her story can be found in 2 Samuel chapter 3, and it continues in 2 Samuel chapter 21. Now, women all over the world, I'm sure, will be able to find themselves in Rizpah's story. She is caught in the middle of a power struggle. Then there's a little bit of scandal. She's even in baby mama drama, revenge, retribution, and eventually she triumphs over all her adversities. Now, I know some of you probably are saying, she's talking about my story. I know I have read Rizpah's story many times, and each time I find something new in the telling that I can relate to. Sometimes it seems like you come out of one bad situation and stumble right into another one needing your attention. Time and time again, you find yourself between a rock and a hard place. Our lives can become a revolving door of drama, chaos, and disappointment if we don't put our foot down and say enough is enough. And a lot of the times, the circumstances are not even of our own making. And this is Rizpah's story. So I need to give you a little background. And I know you say, why do we need background? Because remember, our situations don't just arise and happen overnight. There are reasons why we find ourselves in certain situations. And the solution to any situation is to find the source and the root of the problem. So as we unpack her story, we'll learn that Rizpah was a woman of action that turned her tragedy around. I found her to be an awesome intercessor who got the attention of the king. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, so let me slow down. We first meet Rizpah in 2 Samuel 3 and 7. She was the concubine of King Saul, the first king of Israel, anointed by the prophet and judge Samuel, when the people of Israel asked God for a king. Now, I'm not going to stop there, but that right there is truly a story for another day. Now, in the very first sentence, when they introduce us to Rizpah, they identify her as the concubine of King Saul. And then they even tell us who her daddy was. But there was nothing mentioned about who she was, just that she was a concubine. Now, talking about your job is who you are situation. Why? Because during the time of Rizpah, it wasn't important who she was. She was a woman, King Saul's concubine, and that simply meant that she would never be called queen, and she would never be called wife. She bore him two sons. She was his baby's mama, the chick on the side. She would never wear the crown. She was not there by choice. Her lot in life was chosen for her by her family members or even by the king. You know I got to stop here. Because ladies, I don't want you to look to the left or to the right. I don't even want you to raise your hand. Don't even answer me out loud. But how many of us have been in her very situation, but we made that decision by choice? And okay, brothers, I'm not going to leave you out. Don't think you're going to get left out of this, because we have placed ourselves in situations of our own choosing. And we've done that because we don't know our worth. We don't know our value. We don't believe that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. So let's go back to our sister Rizpah. She was in her situation not by her own choice. She found her in a situation not of her own making. Especially now that her benefactor, King Saul, was dead. Because Rizpah lived in a time, and that time was when they were at war, the house of David against the house of Saul. And there was a lot of conflict going on, and people were still choosing sides. Men were still jockeying for positions and jockeying and seeking power. And right there in 2 Samuel chapter 3, it tells us that King Saul's son accused Abner, King Saul's first cousin and commander-in-chief of his army, of sleeping with Rizpah. Now, I know she was probably thinking, how did my name get into this mess? And Abner, in his anger, swore his allegiance right then and there to King David. Now, Rizpah found herself caught in the midst of a power struggle. She was used as a pawn in two men's quest for the throne of the northern tribes of Israel. Now, we all know what it means to be falsely accused, rumors spread about us, half-truths told about us. And you know that the story gets juicier and juicier depending on who is telling it. Well, the Word of God speaks about gossip and slander several times. It tells us that false words can destroy marriages, can destroy people's reputation. In fact, it tells us, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29. Then it tells us, do not go about spreading slander among your people, and do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. Leviticus 19:16. Rizpah's life was put in danger because she could have lost her life, because back then they stoned you for adultery, or they stoned you for fornication, because she was the widow of the king. Proverbs 10:18 tells us that whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Proverbs 20:19 tells us gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. And then Proverbs 18:21 tells us what? That life and death is in the power of our tongue. So Ishbosheth was either sharing gossip he had heard, or he was starting a rumor. Either way, it was gossip. And this later cost him his life. However, the accusation only added insult to injury for Rizpah. Her benefactor was dead, which was King Saul. She had two sons, and her time in the palace was coming to an end. And since women were not allowed to own property, she most likely had to move back into her father's house. Because she had been Saul's concubine and bore him children, she was considered damaged goods. So there was no prospect of her getting a husband. And then to be caught in public scandal, it had surely sealed her destiny. Now, we don't hear much about Rizpah again until chapter 21 of 2 Samuel, where we find her once again fighting for dignity. Excuse me. But this time, it wasn't for her dignity. It was for the dignity of her two sons and her five grandsons. But I need to stop here and share something else with you, because Rispa's situation that she found herself in this time was created generations before she was even born. And you know, I got to give you the backstory on that. And this is where we're going to learn that our decisions not only determine our destiny, but the destiny of our offsprings for generation after generation. Because Rispa's situation started long before she was a twinkle in her father's eyes, long before she was a seed in her mother's womb. It started when Israel crossed the Jordan River and entered the Promised Land. Let's turn back to Joshua chapter 9, because this is why it's important to connect the scriptures. Now, it said that when Joshua and Israel entered the Promised Land, that all the kings beyond the Jordan heard of Israel's army and how they were defeating all that came against them. So they joined forces to try and defeat the army of Israel. But the Gibeonites heard what Joshua had done in Jericho and Ai. So they devised a crafty and cunning plan. They disguised themselves to seem as if they had traveled a very long way. And they went into the camp of Joshua, and they said to him, "We have come from a far, far country. So now make a covenant with us." But the men of Israel said, "Perhaps you are living within our land. How can we make a covenant with you?" Amen, amen. So let's stop right there. Why did the Gibeonites ask to make a covenant with Israel? Because in ancient time, every nation knew the value of cutting covenant. Back then, covenants were not broken unless at the penalty of death for the one who broke the covenant. And let's remember, we serve a covenant-keeping, covenant-making God. But let's keep on reading, because in Joshua chapter 9, it goes on to say, "Then the Gibeonites said, 'We are your servants.' And Joshua said, 'Who are you, and where do you come from?' And they answered, 'Your servants have come from a country very, very far away. Because of the fame of your God, we have heard the news about him and all that he did in Egypt, and everything that he did to the kings who were beyond the Jordan. So our elders and all the people of the land told us to go and ask Israel to make a covenant with us.'" Beware of people who have Googled you. People who know too much about your situation. "And the men of Israel looked at them and looked over the evidence that they presented, the tattered clothes and the worn out sandals, dry cracked crust and crumbles of bread, mended wineskins. Joshua 9 and 14 says, they looked at the evidence and accepted it, but they did not ask God about it." Again, it said, they did not ask God. Remember, Proverbs 3 and 6 tells us that in all our ways, we are to acknowledge our God. So what's the lesson learned here? It's to beware of what looks and sounds like God. Beware of being deceived just because it sounds like God. Because just because it sounds like God does not mean it's God. Now, don't forget Eve and the serpent in the Garden of Eden. He was able to repeat everything that God had said, changing only a few words. Or let us not forget Yeshua being tempted in the wilderness. the enemy knows the word. He told Yeshua, it is written. Isn't it written? The enemy, I'm going to say it again, knows the word. But let's keep reading, because then we read, so Joshua made peace with them and formalized a covenant to guarantee their lives. The leaders of the congregation swore to it. But let's keep going. Because 3 days later, after making this covenant, they learned that the Gibeonites were their next door neighbors who had been living in the land a long time. The people of Israel broke camp and set out. And after traveling 3 days, they reached the towns, not one town, the towns of the Gibeonites, and found out that they were their next door neighbors. The people were upset. They wanted to attack the Gibeonites. But the elders stood united. We promised them in the presence of the Lord our God that we would not lay hands on them. We will let them live so that they will not say that we have broken covenant. And then it goes on to say that Joshua asked the Gibeonites, why did you lie to us, telling us we live afar away from you when you are our next door neighbors? Now, this is what they answered. We got the message that your God commanded through his servant Moses to give you the whole country and destroy anyone living in it. We are terrified of you. This is why we did it. Lesson learned. Be careful who you allow to connect with you. Beware of those who know too much about what you are doing. Remember Joseph. He told his dream to his brothers, and it got him thrown into a pit and sold into slavery because of their jealousy. We have to be careful of people who know our worth and our anointing better than we do, that attach themselves to us in order to siphon off of our anointing. Everybody in your boat is not rowing. Believe it or not, there are those who don't want to see you succeed. This is why in all your ways you acknowledge Jehovah and he will direct your path. They did not ask God, the God who brought them through the wilderness, the God who parted the Jordan River, the God who brought Jericho down by them just marching around the walls. So our prayer daily should be, forgive us, God, for thinking we know more than you do. Keep my eyes and my heart and mind on all that pleases you. I won't move unless you tell me. I know it seems as if I've taking you over the river and through the woods. And you're wondering, how does this situation causes what happened to Rizpah 360 years later before she was born? And truly, that is a study for another day. So we're going to stop here. Now, I pray that I've said something that will ignite a fire in you, that will cause you to go panting after Jehovah like the deer panteth after the water brook. My prayer is that you would be like well-watered gardens, trees planted by the rivers of living water, that your roots will grow deep in the word, your branches will remain strong, your leaves will never wither, and you will produce good fruit. Again, I'm Khadijah, Apostle of the Most High God. I love you with the love of Christ. There is nothing that you can do about it. And you have a God-fantastic rest of your week. Shalom. Good. Good afternoon, people of the Most High God. Thank you so very much for tuning in with me for Kit Kat Moments, Revelations of Life, Women's Ministry. And yes, I left you with a cliffhanger because I want you to come back. I want you to hear the rest of the story. I promise you won't be disappointed because every time I hear the story of Rispa, it encourages me to go just a little bit further, to press in just a little bit more because it reminds me over and over again that if we pray without ceasing, that the kingdom of heavens will open and the King, Abba, Jehovah, will hear our voice. So again, make sure you keep coming back. I love you. With the love of Christ, there is nothing that you can do about it. And you have a God-fantastic rest of your week. Shalom.